morning. Welcome to Humanity Meets Business, Business Therapy with Christine Salvo. Today I have a part two. Catherine Gagnon, I'm hoping I said that right, is a mind, she's a no, you could correct me after. Catherine is a mind body healing practitioner and master NLP transformational health coach who works with people who are tired of being tired and worried. She can hear, see, and feel the emotional and physical energy leaks in people and help them plug these leaks. As a result, her clients regain sustained physical, emotional energy, recover faster from illnesses, attain mental clarity, self-confidence, feel more at peace with themselves, and happier in their relationships. Catherine is a hang glider pilot certified as an applied neuroscience practitioner and holds a nurse practitioner diploma. She's currently pursuing a doctorate in natural medicine and studying the ancient wisdom of Siddha Veda and stems from Ayurvedic medicine. As a chronic Lyme disease survivor who healed in record time, she also developed a unique expertise to help Lyme disease sufferers regain their health and life without losing their time or money. So please correct me on botching your last name. I'm sorry.
No, actually, I said yes. It was good.
Oh, it was good. Yes. I was like, oh, I'm sweating over here. So I'm so happy to have you back. And, you know, I know last time we really talked a lot about how you healed through Lyme's disease, right? Because that's such a basically it's a lifelong diagnosis for most people and they don't get a lot of treatment or relief. So it was amazing that you did that. And, you know, if you're listening right now and you suffer with Lyme's disease or you know anybody that does, please reference past episodes and really give that a listen. But I know today you really wanted to share something else that's on your heart. So welcome back. So happy to have you here. And what's new?
Thank you so much, Christine. I'm really excited to be back with you on the show. So it's just been an amazing journey of insights. As you've said, I've been studying at Quantum University, a PhD in natural medicine. And I'm teaching free monthly masterclasses that kind of bring together what I'm learning in my PhD, in my Siddha Veda, and also in my transformational coaching practice. What's been really amazing is to understand kind of behind the curtain of what's happening when we're not having what we want, you know, whether it's in our relationships, it's in our health, it's in our business or in our careers or in our life's purpose or in our finances. What's happening when we don't have what we want, or we constantly repeat patterns that are bringing back struggle, anxiety, you know, all these things that on the previous episode we talked about as energy leaks, you know, places where people lose their power and they feel tired or they feel worried or they feel like they're comparing themselves with other people. They're not happy as they would want to, and they feel like something's wrong with them. And so all of these things are energy leaks that really stems from beliefs, from subconscious beliefs that we're all holding in our subconscious mind based on years of programming, most likely by the primary caregivers that we've had in our life. And these beliefs are literally running the show of our life. And so recently, I've been reading about quantum physics and the law of attraction. And, you know, you've probably seen the movie The Secret and read some personal growth books about that. But it's just like something really clicked for me recently. And I've been sharing that with people and it's been clicking for them also. So I'm excited to share that with, you know, your listeners today. Christine, and it's really, yeah, going behind the curtains of what's happening when we don't have what we want in our life. So you're probably familiar with quantum physics and the law of attraction, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I had an aha moment recently about the fact that quantum physics are actually, you know, quantum physics are to science what the law of attraction is to spirituality. Both are saying the same things. They're just using different words, you know. Mm-hmm. Quantum physics will resonate more with people who have maybe a more scientific mind, and law of attraction will resonate more with people who are more attracted to the spiritual world and the world of energy and things like that. But really, it's about creating what you want in your life and stopping the recurrent patterns that bring struggle in your life.
Yeah. So, you know, something I commonly say is what you focus on expands. And that can be a negative thought or a positive thought or even a neutral thought, right? Anything that we're taking the time to focus on gets bigger, at least to our peripheral, at least to our vision, right? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And we can know this on like a cognitive level that, oh, focus on what you want to bring in your life, you know, trust that all is there and it's already happening for you. And all of these things, we can know this on a head level if you want, but to actually know it in the body and in the energy of the person is a whole different game. And I think that for me, it really clicked on that deeper level. And I've been explaining it in a way that is a little bit of an imagery, but it might speak to your audience. I believe it will. So, you know, what happens is 95% of our thoughts are subconscious, you know, and they stem from subconscious beliefs. And we know that 70% of our thoughts are recurrent every day and they're negative. So basically, we're trying to create our life with 5% of conscious will. That's until we, you know, we awaken and we become aware of our subconscious beliefs and stuff. But when we're trying to create our life with 5% of conscious will, it's like we're going to the buffet of life. Let's imagine there's this big buffet of anything that you could ever desire to eat. Anything that's ever possible to eat is on that buffet, you know, of infinite possibilities. And when most of us are trying to create our life with just the 5% of conscious mind, it's like we're going to that buffet either with our eyes closed, hoping we're going to put in our plate something that we like, or we're going into the buffet with the beliefs that, oh, I need to put the things I don't like in my plate because it's just the way it is, right? Like, all the beliefs that, well, I need to work hard in order to make money, or I need to work myself to the bone in order to deserve a pause or to deserve self-care, right? And we even put some stuff that's rotten in our plate thinking that, you know, we have to eat the rotten stuff because we don't deserve better, right? But all of the rest, all of the infinite possibilities are out there on the buffet. But before we wake up to how to consciously put in our plate what we want, go to the buffet with our eyes open, we're going to recreate the same patterns in our life, and the same struggle will represent themselves. Sometimes it's just different places, different faces, but it's the same pattern. Does that make sense?
Oh man, I'm such a visual person. And as you were explaining that, I was literally closing my eyes and looking at like this buffet. And when you said placing rotten food, I was like, oh. not even the stuff you don't want, like, you know, I know this is good for me, so I'll eat it. And there's a little bit of that, but when it was like just straight up putting bad food on your plate and thinking you have to eat it, that was a very experiential visual that I just have, and that makes perfect sense to me. That really brought it home for me. Like, yes, why would you put rotten food on your plate? But you're right, it's because you don't know better.
and you think you don't deserve, you know, happiness or a happy relationship, or, and that, but that's all in the subconscious mind. So, oh, well, thank you for sharing what came up for you. I'm glad the visual was helpful. But yeah, so basically, if we go back behind the curtains of how do we go to the buffet with open eyes and putting in our plate the stuff that we like and that we actually want in our plate? So I think this is where the exciting part of the work is, and just, you know, the work that I do in transformational coaching and emotional alchemy, and whether I work with people who suffer from Lyme or they want to, you know, lose weight or regain energy, or they want to feel less worried, or they want to feel happy, or they're going through a transition in life and they want this transition to be smooth, you know, to not be horrible. Like, I currently have clients who are experiencing grief or divorce. So what makes the difference between going through these experiences with struggle, with anxiety, with pain, versus creating a new experience based on infinite possibilities that are out there. And again, it just comes down to our beliefs. What do you believe is true about your health? What do you believe is true about your finances, about what you deserve? And it's worth exploring that with ourselves, right? And I would invite the listeners to just kind of make a mental and emotional exploration of your beliefs. And like I said, I think on the first episode, any journey of transformation starts with awareness. And then it goes through transformation in order to come back to a state of wholeness. So awareness is the first step. And sometimes people are afraid of examining these things in their life because they're afraid that if they're seeing these things, it means they're going to amplify and get more of that. But if you're doing it intentionally with the intention of becoming aware without amplifying the thing, you know, these things are already harboring within yourself. They're already in there. The rotten food is already rotting in there. You know, so it's useful to become aware of it, not to amplify it. And then to bring the journey of transformation with it. Joe Dispenza says, you know, the best way to create the future is from the unknown. It's kind of creating a blank slate and creating a situation in your mind's in your mind's eye and in your senses as if it's already happened. So if you look at what you no longer want in your life, this is an exercise I did on the last masterclass. It's like list the things you no longer want in your life. And then these are the rotten foods and the stuff you don't like in your plate. And then from those things, look 180 degrees to what do you want instead? What experience do you want to create instead? What foods, what things, what desires do you have that you want to put in your plate? And then knowing that what you focus on expands, and that whenever you focus on a problem or let's say a situation, you're actually sending that vibe out in the quantum field. And then that vibe is making you go to the buffet with closed eyes or picking the thing that you no longer want. So I say to people, you know, you having a life that you love is not only your destiny, but it is your duty. It's your duty to have a life that you love, because not only it benefits you, it benefits everyone else around you because they see what's possible for you and therefore what's possible for them. So that's why I say we cannot afford to spend even 1 minute talking about the problem, talking about the struggle, talking about the things that are not going well in our life. And here's an example of just in my own life, because sometimes it's one thing to know it, but how do you actually put that into motion? You know, when you're feeling tired and let's say you didn't sleep very well or something is, you know, not sitting well in your gut and your energy is not really good. And maybe there's mental, you know, brain fog and things like that. This happened to me like a week ago. And then I noticed that I was, you know, going into noticing that, oh, I don't have energy. I feel like crap. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. I'm not going to spend any more seconds focusing on what's not going well. I'm going to focus on what I want to create. And I have to say, it was much more challenging to do it from a place of low energy than when things are flowing and I'm just, you know, calling in more of that in my life. But even though it felt more challenging and more viscous, you know, like I call it like the viscosity, I still did it. I still was saying to myself, okay, my body is feeling strong. I'm increasing the vitality in my body. I feel the energy returning in my body. It's going to feel nice when I feel at my most energetic and powerful. And it was slow and it was more challenging, but I made the deliberate effort to do it. And I have to say, within half an hour, I turned it around and I was able to work my whole day, coach my clients, go on a bike ride, and feel the strength and the vitality in my body. But it's like I had to put in that effort. It was worth the effort to go against the current of talking about the problems, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
So
I mean, that's a lot, but I think that you're onto something here, which is the choice. I think the most important thing that you said, even at all that, is recognizing that you have a choice. You know, a lot of times it's like, I'm having a bad day and I have no choice but to have this bad day. And not only am I having this bad day, but I don't have a choice to make it better. And something I'd kind of coach people into in therapy is I'll say, well, was it all a bad day, or was it just a bad hour? Or was it all a bad hour, or was it just a bad 15 minutes? Was it all a bad 15 minutes, or was it a bad three? You know, because a lot of times our brain literally wants to like exaggerate. We have these little drama queen brains, you know, and it's like, okay, that was a bad moment in a pretty good day, right? But if we're just focusing, like you said, on the bad moment and then expanding that to the whole day, we've lost a day. If we recognize that the discomfort we felt was temporary, you know, that flash of stress that you had, that wave of fatigue, was it all day? Were you like lucky enough to have 10 minutes to rest your eyes? And kind of doing that grateful thing too, right? Bringing it back to a place of, I may not be feeling well right in this moment, but I have everything I need to feel better later or tomorrow or another day, right?
Yep.
Am I on the same track as you?
Yes, totally. And I love what you're saying about, you know, am I having just a bad hour in that day or a bad 3 minutes out of 15 minutes, and how our brains want to, you know, just explode the problem. And the question is, how come is it that our brain wants to expand the problem and the struggle? And, you know, Joe Dispenza says, if you haven't learned to master your emotions in some way, shape or form, you must be addicted to them. Right. And I remember a few years ago when I was building my business and things were, you know, they were difficult. You know what it is to build a business. And I'm sure your audience also knows that it's not just rainbows and unicorns, and there are some challenges. And I remember talking to my mentor and telling her about how hard it was and how I was working hard and staying long hours and learning new technology platforms and putting up with, you know, some clients stuff. And she was like, you realize, Catherine, that the more you're telling me about this, the more you're recreating that vibe of hard and struggle. And then it really hit me. I was like, yeah, why is it that I really feel like I need to talk about it so much? And then I realized that, oh, the underlying need under that was a need of, you know, of acknowledgement, of validation, of, you know, the need to be somebody be proud of my accomplishment. And then I thought, oh, okay, well, if I'm looking for that outside of me, I'm looking in the wrong places. I need to give myself that validation, that acknowledgement, that, you know, tap on the shoulder of, man, Catherine, you're doing such a good job. Keep going. And when I started to give myself what I needed, I stopped having to tell the story over and over and of how hard it was. And it actually became much easier to say, you know, to just go speak in the direction of what I want to create. You know, my business is flowing and it's expanding, and every day and every way I'm attracting new clients. They're so aligned with the work that I'm doing, and they're, you know, they're so happy that they finally found me, and they have the resources and supportive partners and flexible schedules to work with me, and they're happy to invest in themselves because they understand that money is the cheapest resource, because money is the resource that will save them time and energy and, you know, bring the possibilities and create the life that they love, that they've been dreaming about for their whole life. So now it's a lot easier to speak in the direction of what I want to create. And everything is created twice. First, it's created in the mind and in the senses, because the brain doesn't make the difference between a situation that is experienced outside of you or inside of you. But when you combine a clear intention with an elevated emotion, it takes only 68 seconds of holding on to that. And I call that the rampage. If if you're familiar with the teachings of Abraham Hicks, you know, she talks about the rampage of the good emotions. And if you hold that for 68 seconds, that's the time it takes to activate the quantum field and to collapse all the possibilities into the desired outcome that you want. So 68 seconds of you walking towards that buffet of the quantum field of possibility with your eyes open, with the emotion of expectation of something good, of what you want to put in your plate. And you're going to that buffet with your open eyes and you actually choose the things that you want to put in your plate. You choose the things that you know are good for you, are going to make you feel good while bringing you the pleasure that you're seeking. And you're seeing the rotten food and the things that you thought before that you needed to put in your plate, but you're not choosing them because you know better. And because you know that you're constantly creating from that field of infinite possibilities, and you deserve to have your desires fulfilled, and you deserve to have a life you love, and it's your duty to create that. So isn't that amazing to crack this code?
It is. And taking it from, you know, to a fantasy, to the reality of you must, this must happen for you.
Yes.
For you to be the best version of you, for you to show up the way you're supposed to be here, everyone benefits. Every single one benefits, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, exactly. You know, that deserve, I think if you could go a little deeper into that, because that's a loaded word.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's a loaded word. And all you have to do sometimes is say the word deserve, and you will get visceral reactions from a number of people. Some people will puff their chest and be like, damn right. And other people are going to be like, oh no, not me. And yeah, everything in between.
Exactly. You're right. This is such a loaded word and concept. And, you know, in a way, our desires, I don't like using the word should, but I'm going to use it here. Our desires should be the compass of what we're creating in our life. And when they're not, usually there's some form of unworthiness, that I'm not worthy of what I desire, I'm not good enough. And these are all subconscious beliefs that were imprinted way early in the formative years. You know, I just did a session today with a client of mine, and we just found out that what's showing up in her current situation was actually imprinted when she was 6 months old. And to re-imprint, to go visit that and to re-imprint that belief at such an early age, it'll recontextualize the whole line, you know, the whole chain of events between 6 months of age and her current age right now. You know, she's 30, and it'll inform her current circumstance, where now she no longer feels unworthy of her desires. And she actually knows that it's her birthright to have needs and desires. And I talk about the universe like, you know, your loyal, trusted boyfriend who just wants to please you. It wants to please you, but you need to be clear with the universe, and then to feel that you're worthy of having what you desire. And Christine, you know, I wish there was a magic pill to just tell people, like, listen, you know, stamp, permission granted, you are worthy, you deserve to have what you want. But it takes more than a magic pill. And like you said, some people will just pump their chest and say, heck yeah, I deserve it. But for other people, it's a little bit more complex, because it got intertwined in their subconscious beliefs and also in their identity, which is why it's useful to do a transformational process with someone who is skilled at guiding you exactly where you need to go, in order to just untie the knots of where this untruth got imprinted, that you were not good enough or that you weren't worthy. And it's different for everybody. Where that knot got tied, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be difficult either. It doesn't have to be this big kind of catharsis and explosion. It's just really going within and having that awareness. So for people who have done personal growth for quite some time, and they're able to go visit themselves, like I take myself on my own timeline with something, mm-hmm. I notice that's happening, and I might be doing the dishes or doing, you know, cooking or the laundry, and I'm like, yeah, I'm noticing that I'm feeling unworthy on this thing, and where did that come from? And boom, I'll just take myself on the timeline, and oh yeah, when I was 2 years old and I was in love with my dad, and I couldn't understand why he was choosing my mom over me, and I just felt unworthy, and I you know I felt like I was cheated upon and this and that. Well, my dad was married to my mom, but back then I did not know this, but now I do. And it just kind of, you know, it just kind of evaporates all the rest of the unworthiness. And I'm like, yeah, I'm loved. And, you know, my intimate relationship is safe and no problem.
So. Oh my gosh, that's the funniest example. I think you hit it on the nail. I think so many toddlers, boy or girl, are in love with their parents. Like, you are mine. And that's what they act like too. Like, you're mine. What do you think you're doing? And then later you have to realize, like, oh yeah, that was correct. my parents were doing the right thing.
Exactly.
That was such a fun example though.
Yeah. And I can do this because I do this work constantly on myself and with others. So I have a high level of awareness. But, you know, if somebody is not there yet, that's why I'm saying, you know, getting the help from a coach and somebody like you, somebody like me, or a transformational coach who can really guide the person into developing these tools so that, you know, once you have these tools in your life, you don't depend on somebody else to, you know, point to your blind spots. They're actually coming to you. And one thing I would say about, you know, the feeling worthy or deserving of things or not, is a lot of us carry judgment around what we deserve and what we're worthy of. And one of the first steps that I always suggest to people is to actually trade in curiosity instead, trade in judgment for curiosity. So bring in curiosity instead of judgment. And the example could be like, huh, it's interesting that I feel like, let's say I would like to have more money or to have more abundance in my business. And I'm noticing that I don't feel worthy of it, or I'm noticing that there's some resistance in me. And just bringing in that curiosity, like, huh, I'm curious, what is it in me that's resisting, or that's feeling unsafe, or what is it in me that's feeling like it wouldn't be a good thing? And that in itself will invite the awareness. And sometimes just being aware of the pattern is enough to start transforming it and to bring some wholeness into you. So it can be that simple as just being curious with yourself, because when there's curiosity, there's no judgment. And when there's no judgment, then you have access to the information that before was, you were blinded to that information, because the judgment is like the blinders. It just closes off your vision so much. Yeah. So,
yeah. Oh, what a fruitful and thoughtful and wonderful episode. Thank you so much for sharing all of this. Definitely brought some awareness and some insight into my own life of like, yeah, what am I doing? So where can our listeners find you? You know, if they want to know more or want to engage in that mastermind, where can they find you?
Yes, absolutely. So they can find me on social media, Facebook, Instagram. It's Catherine Gagnon, Transformational Coach. I also have my website, which is catherinegagnon.ca. So it's www.catherinegagnon.ca. And the free monthly masterclasses, I'm going to send you the links, Christine, if you want to put them in the show notes, because they're not on my website right now. I'm waiting to find the right person to help me VA things and the website and all that. But the free masterclasses are happening every second Wednesday of the month. In English, they're happening at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time. So that's 1:30 Pacific time. And they're free to attend. So all you do is just register, and then replays are available. But people have been having some pretty amazing transformations. I always guide an experiential exercise on top of sharing the knowledge, so that you know, the knowledge is more in the head, but the experiential exercise really drops into the body. And just like you had an experience at the buffet with the rotten food, it really brings it home for people. And they're like, wow, they can integrate this into their life on a much deeper level. So it's really great to be in that space.
Wonderful. Thank you so much again. Thank you. Thank you. This is Humanity Meets Business, Business Therapy with Christine Selvo, licensed marriage and family therapist, advanced certified mediator and master practitioner of NLP and hypnosis. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.